The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings.
Hello, I'm Price Wooldridge, and you're listening to Multiple Sclerosis News Today's audio news. These are today's news highlights curated by our editorial staff. Visit our website at multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com for more relevant news and patient perspectives. Analyses weigh stem cell transplant versus DMTs. Autologous hematopoietic stem cell transplant, or AHSCT, is superior to Gilenya and Tysabri at preventing relapses and reducing disability in people with highly active, relapsing-remitting multiple sclerosis. In turn, AHSCT appears to be as effective as Ocrevus in RRMS patients and also was not superior to Tysabri in people with progressive MS. These are the findings of retrospective and comparative analyses of patients with similar demographic and clinical parameters before receiving either AHSCT or approved disease-modifying therapies. The results were shared in two oral presentations at the 38th Congress of the European Committee for Treatment and Research in Multiple Sclerosis, held October 26 to 28, both virtually and in Amsterdam, the Netherlands. Both were presented by Thomas Kalinczyk, MD, PhD, Dame Kate Campbell Professional Fellow at the University of Melbourne in Australia, and the head of the Royal Melbourne Hospital's MS Center. AHSCT is an intensive experimental treatment approach meant to stop MS abnormal immune attacks and inflammation on the brain and spinal cord by resetting a patient's immune system. The procedure begins with the collection of a person's own healthy blood cell progenitors, also known as hematopoietic stem cells, from the blood or the bone marrow. These cells are then infused back to the patient after a fairly aggressive chemotherapy regimen is given to kill their immune cells. While this one-time treatment has the potential to slow or halt MS progression, its experimental status has limited its use to patients with aggressive forms of the disease, mostly with relapsing MS, and who have failed to respond to approved therapies. Some previous studies suggested this approach is effective, and more so than some DMTs, at preventing relapses and disability progression in people with relapsing forms of MS. But evidence on its effects on progressive MS is much more limited. Comparing AHSCT to DMTs. Now, an international team of researchers compared AHSCT's efficacy against high-efficacy DMTs in RRMS patients and in people with secondary progressive or primary progressive MS. The analyses included patients given the stem cell transplant at six AHSCT MS centers in Canada, the UK, Sweden, Norway, and Australia as controls. Researchers examined patients receiving a DMT who were on IMBACE, an international real-world registry of people with MS and other neurological immunological diseases. Eligible patients were those receiving, for the first time, AHSCT or either one of three high-efficacy DMTs, Gilenya, Tysabri, or Ocrevus, in the case of RRMS patients, or Tysabri in progressive MS patients, and who had enough data available before and after treatment. Mathematical modeling was used to ensure that AHSCT-treated patients had similar pre-treatment demographic and clinical features to those given each of the DMTs. These features included age, sex, disability status, time from disease onset, number of relapses, prior DMTs, and geographic location. The researchers then compared two groups for annualized relapse rates, risk of first relapse, and six-month confirmed disability worsening and improvement based on sustained changes in the Expanded Disability Status Scale, or EDSS score. More findings. Findings from RRMS patients were shared in the presentation Comparative Effectiveness of Autologous Hematopoietic Stem Cell Transplantation versus Fingolimod, Ocrelizumab, and Natalizumab in Relapsing-Remitting MS. For the analyses, the outcomes of 144 patients given the stem cell transplant were compared with those of 769 matched patients on Gilenya. Also, 146 AHSCT-treated patients were matched with 730 patients treated with Tysabri, and 110 patients on the AHSCT group were matched with 343 patients given Ocrevus. The matched populations had very high relapse activity before treatment and moderate disability. Results showed that, compared with Gilenya, AHSCT was associated with a significantly lower ARR, a 74% lower risk of first relapse, and a 2.7 times higher chance of disability improvement. No significant differences were observed in terms of risk of disability worsening. When comparing AHSCT to Tysabri, the team found a statistically significant but clinically marginal difference in AAR, Kalinczyk said. Patients on AHSCT also had a 49% lower risk of experiencing a first relapse, though Kalinczyk also noted this was a relatively marginal difference. Still, the stem cell transplant was linked to a nearly 2.7 times higher chance of disability improvement, mainly in the first year of follow-up, but similar probability of disability worsening. Finally, AHSCT was compared to Ocrevus in ARR, risk of relapse, and probability of both disability worsening and reduction, but the shorter follow-up duration in these groups, up to 3 years, may have limited the power of this particular comparison, Kalinczyk said. These findings highlight that, among RRMS patients with highly active disease and moderate disability, AHSCT is substantially superior to Gilenya and marginally superior to Tysabri in reducing the risk of post-treatment relapses, Kalinczyk said. We found no evidence of a difference in disability worsening outcomes over 3 to 5 years of available follow-up, but we found a superior possibility of disability improvement facilitated by AHSCT when compared to Gilenya or Tysabri, Kalinczyk added. Analysis involving Tysabri. Results from people with progressive forms of MS were detailed in the second presentation titled Effectiveness of Autologous Hematopoietic Stem Cell Transplantation in Comparison with Natalizumab in Progressive MS. The analysis included 39 patients treated with AHSCT, 37 with SPMS, and 2 with PPMS, and 65 matched Tysabri-treated patients, 53 with SPMS, and 12 with PPMS. These patients had moderately advanced disability and moderate pretreatment relapse activity, with a mean of 0.5 to 0.6 relapses per year in the previous 12 months. Up to 5 years of data showed that AHSCT and Tysabri resulted in similarly low relapse rates, as well as comparable risk of first relapse. The two treatments also led to similar rates of confirmed disability worsening and improvement, the latter being very rarely observed, Kalinczyk said. Despite the limited number of included patients, the results indicate that AHSCT is not superior to Tysabri in reducing disability progression, in facilitating disability improvement, or reducing subsequent relapses, Kalinczyk said. Regarding AHSCT's safety, the most commonly reported adverse events were complications after discharge, most often infections. Other common adverse events included febrile neutropenia, fever with low counts of a type of white blood cell, hypersensitivity reaction, and intensive care unit admission. One treatment-related death was reported among the 159 RRMS patients treated with AHSCT and in none of the 39 progressive MS patients. This news article was written by Marta Figueredo, Ph.D., on November 2, 2022. Click the link in the description below to read more on this and other topics of interest on the MS News Today's website. DMTs ease SPMS disability early, but not over time. Early use of disease-modifying therapies among people with secondary progressive multiple sclerosis may lead to overall lower levels of disability, according to a new analysis. But staying on treatment does not appear to significantly lower disability progression over time. People with SPMS who used DMTs early on consistently had lower scores on the expanded disability status scale, reflecting less disability, than untreated individuals. However, patients saw similar rates of EDSS increases over time, regardless of treatment status, the researchers found. The findings, based on data from 9 large MS registries, really stressed the importance of earlier recognition and intervention of progressive transition, said Luigi Pontieri, PhD, a research statistician at the Danish Multiple Sclerosis Registry in Denmark. Pontieri discussed the findings in an oral presentation titled, Influence of DMTs on EDSS Scores Trajectories in Treated and Non-Treated Patients with SPMS, Analysis from 9 Registries. At the 38th Congress of the European Committee for Treatment and Research in Multiple Sclerosis, held October 26-28 in Amsterdam and virtually. Investigating DMTs for SPMS. More than a dozen DMTs are approved in the U.S. for the treatment of MS. These therapies aim to alter the course of the disease, some by preventing relapses and others by reducing MRI disease activity or slowing disability accumulation. While a number of DMTs have emerged in recent years for relapsing forms of MS, those marked by periods of symptom exacerbations or relapses, followed by periods of remission, fewer options are available for SPMS patients. For these individuals, MS symptoms gradually worsen over time, even in the absence of relapses. Moreover, data is lacking on the impact of available DMTs on disease progression once a patient transitions to SPMS. To address that knowledge gap, Pontieri and colleagues evaluated the disability trajectories of adult SPMS patients given DMTs relative to patients left untreated. Data were obtained from 9 MS registries involved in the SPMS Research Collaboration Network. These included national registries from the UK, Denmark, Sweden, the Czech Republic, Germany, Italy, Finland, and France, as well as the International MS-Base Registry. Patients were included if they had been diagnosed with SPMS by January 1, 2015, and were at least 18 years old by January 1, 2017. Each was assigned to either the treated or untreated group. Participants were listed in the treated group if, from January 2015 to January 2017, they had been on a DMT for at least 80% of the time and were receiving a DMT at the index date. On the other hand, those who had been on a DMT for 20% or less of that 2-year period and were not receiving treatment at the index date were deemed untreated. Disability trajectories were compared between these two groups by evaluating changes in EDSS scores, collected at least once between January 2015 and January 2017, and at least once in the 4-year follow-up between the index date and January 1, 2021. Data from individual database were converted to a common format prior to analysis. Overall, 10,238 patients were included across all registries. As of the index date, untreated patients were older and had a longer disease duration than treated patients across all registries. There also was a greater proportion of untreated patients who hadn't experienced a disease relapse in the previous year. Results showed that patients in the treatment group had lower EDSS scores at the index date, reflecting a lower degree of disability, and that these scores tended to remain lower over the course of follow-up. However, scores generally increased for all patients over time, and the rate of disability progression was not significantly different in treated versus untreated patients. This meant that treated patients had less disability in the earlier stages of their disease, but treatment did not slow the progression of their disease at later stages. Non-treated SPMS patients have generally higher EDSS values than treated patients, suggesting a beneficial effect of DMTs in slowing disease accumulation at earlier stages of the progressive phase, Pontieri said. However, as patients get older, staying on DMTs does not seem to slow disability progression. While DMTs might be beneficial in SPMS patients at earlier stages of progression, their effect might fade away as patients get older, stressing the importance of earlier recognition and intervention of progressive transition, the team concluded. This news article was written by Lindsay Shapiro, PhD, on November 2, 2022. Click the link in the description below to read more on this and other topics of interest on the MS News Today's website, multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. This is MS News Today's audio news. Subscribe to our channel and never miss an episode. And if you're listening on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts, hit save. Thanks for tuning in.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.